Brandon, thank you so much for being a guest on the Seeing Your Inner Brilliance show. Super excited to have you.
For sure. It's great to be here, Charles C. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So diving right into it, just a little bit about who you are. You are a communication coach. You have built a wildly popular YouTube channel called Master Talk, which is pretty cool, right? So kudos to you on doing both of those things.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So one question I have for you that really stuck out to me is being a communication coach, starting a YouTube channel, maybe it even we can branch out social media, those types of things. We aren't necessarily taught that those are the traditional careers for us to follow. And yours in particular is very much creating something just from your heart that you intuitively know. So what has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, you described that really well, actually, in the sense that, for me, Charles C, the journey was I went to business school to be an accountant. So literally the opposite of what I'm doing today. I always thought I was a numbers guy. I was really good at math in school. So I thought I was going to be an accountant. But during my journey in business school, I started competing in case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So while other guys my age were playing basketball or football or baseball, I wasn't really one of those guys, Charles C. So what I did instead was I did presentations competitively. That's how I learned how to speak. But then as I got older, I started coaching students mostly for free just to help them get better at competitions. And I accidentally developed a gift for communication coaching. Now I would say it's intuition, but before it was mostly an accident. So I just started making YouTube videos for fun on public speaking because it didn't exist before. And then it just turned to what it is today.
Wow, that is so cool, Brendan. Just so cool. And I really want to acknowledge you because not only is it something that we aren't traditionally taught, but it also is a crossover between the left and right hemispheres of the brain. So you really jumped from one
Oh,
end.
was a big job for sure.
And so with that jump of going from the traditional accounting world to communication, was it hard for you to embrace that? What did that look like?
Yeah, I would say for me, the big challenge to embrace wasn't necessarily the coaching part of it. That's why I love the way you described it because for some reason, that's why I always like to say this, communication chose me. I didn't really choose or seek out to be a communication coach. Coaching was just intuitive to who I already was. I just found out later that it's something you get paid to do. You could do this as a profession, which of course I didn't know coming from a family of factory workers. For me, the biggest challenge by far, Charles C, was changing my identity. Going from somebody who saw corporate as the way out, had a really good corporate job. I worked at IBM as a technology consultant, and changing that identity from being that high flying consultant who's going to be an executive at this company to no, I'm going to cut my salary by 70%. I'm going to do something completely non-traditional and wild. So that was the biggest challenge. I cried actually the day that I quit my job. It was really tough. But yeah, that was the hardest part by far.
Oh my goodness, that was so beautifully articulated, and you hit the nail on the head. As big dreamers and high achievers, a lot of times our goals don't seem logical. Our dreams don't seem logical. We can't fathom and understand why we have been on this path and we have laid out this trajectory for ourselves. And then all of a sudden, we have a burning desire that comes from within for us to make a jump and a transition. And so there's a real acceptance of what it is and who it is, more importantly, that we can be the ones called to doing something like that. And so you just beautifully articulated how it came about for you and just the whole process of really embracing that and that your communication, it came to you. It called you, which is amazing.
Absolutely, Charles C. And what you said that I want to touch upon a little bit, which is the idea that your unique essence isn't supposed to be logical, right? So everything that we do up until that point is logical, okay, because that's what society tells us is logical. Okay, go to school, get great grades, do really well, get a great job, get married, have 2.5 kids, not 2 kids for some reason, have like a white picket fence, buy 2 cars, even if you can only afford one. Like all of these roles in society, all these rules that kind of the culture bestows on us. But the only way to escape that is to really look within and then figure out what is the actual calling that we're supposed to do. And sometimes it takes a long time for people to figure it out. Like one of the stories I'll tell you on why I felt coaching was intuitive when I really think about it in the back end was this time when I was in college and I was coaching a sports team. But what was really weird about that story, Chelsea, is I knew nothing about the sport. So what happened was it was a sport called kinball, which nobody knows. It's like only played in our province in Quebec, where I'm based in Montreal. It's a very local sport. So you got this big ball, basically. You kind of kick around and you play against teams of 10. It's really weird, but it's fun to watch. And I got and the competition was happening. A bunch of sports people were playing. They didn't have a coach, so I just go to the competition just to support my best friend because he was on the team. So I wake up at 5:30 a.m. I got my suit on because I have to go watch a bunch of case competitions after of the teams I coached on speaking. So I'm sitting on a bench at 7 a.m. and I'm watching this match, and they start losing the game, Charles. So they're losing because they don't have a coach. So my best friend comes up to me and they just say, "Hey, just start yelling out colors because that's how you play kinball." And I was like, "Well, I don't know. I don't even know how this sport goes." And they go, "Just figure it out. We need somebody to yell names." So I start yelling out these colors and we end up winning the game. So then I start leaving. I start leaving to go see the other teams. And the whole team said, "No, you're the coach for the day." And I just coached them the rest of it. Was wild.
What?
Yeah, it was so weird.
That
Was weird.
Oh my gosh, what a weird and very cool experience.
Absolutely. And the way that I would make this, I guess, more practical for people listening, Chelsea, and then jumping on with your thoughts as well, it kind of goes back to what Gay Hendricks calls the zone of genius. There's kind of like 4 different zones: your zone of incompetence, your zone of competence, your zone of excellence, and your zone of genius. So your zone of incompetence is something that you're really bad at that you also hate doing. So one example with that with me is cooking. Like Brendan shouldn't be cooking. I might finish off a couple of people. Like I probably shouldn't cook. It's dangerous for people's health. Competence is something that we're naturally good at, but we don't like to do. So one common example is cleaning the house, plunging the toilet. Like we're good at it. We know how to do it, but it doesn't bring us that much joy. But what gets really interesting is in the last 2 boxes. So your zone of excellence is something that you're really talented at. You get paid money for it, you get recognition. So you're like some high-level executive at a company. You're an entertainment lawyer or something like that. You're a doctor. But internally, there's something wrong. Like there's a misalignment between your soul and the career that you're doing, but you ignore it because you're doing so well. And your zone of genius is the alignment of all of those things.
Oh, so good, so good. Yes, I love the book I just read recently, like Big Leaps, or yeah, really good stuff, really good stuff there. So how did you, whether it be the coaching aspect or the communications aspect, how did you just fully embrace that zone of genius and that call for you?
Yeah, fantastic question. So the challenge with a lot of high performers, Chelsea, and a lot of people who want success in their life is they get stuck in their zone of excellence. So a good example with me is my zone of excellence is being an executive at IBM. So I'm good at it. I could get paid money to do it. I get recognized for it, but there's a misalignment there. Like you wake up and you're thinking, how do you do this? And this is where the information gets tough, right? Because people have different opinions on how do you jump from excellence to genius. Here's my opinion on this. My opinion is the difference between people who find their zone of genius and the people who don't, or who don't embrace it, do not ask themselves questions that are really difficult to answer in their life. So basically, my version of this is if you ask yourself a hard question every single day of your life, you'll become a completely different person. Towards the true essence of who you are. I'll give you an example. I call this 80-20 questions. So you know the 80-20 principle, right? What are 20% of the results, or rather the actions that drive 80% of the results? So I flipped this a little bit and I asked myself, what are 20% of the questions that we can ask ourselves as human beings that drive 80% of the clarity? in somebody's life. So I'll give you three to not traumatize your audience too much here. But the first one is, hey, if you had all the money in the world, how would you spend your time? If I made you a billionaire tomorrow, what would you do for the rest of your life? And people don't have a good answer to that question. They just say travel. So look a little harder. Number two is, if you could only accomplish three things in your life, and only three, nothing else, what would you want to accomplish and why? This really helps you focus in on the time that you have left on Earth. And the third question is, I got this from Devon Bandison, what's a goal or a dream that you secretly gave up on and never told anyone about? If you ask these questions long enough, you'll figure out your zone of genius pretty quickly.
Oh, so good. So good, Brendan. Thank you so much for bringing that deliciousness to the show. Those are really great questions to journal on, reflect on, ask yourself every single day. I love that. And what I hear in this conversation of us talking about between zone of excellence and zone of genius, something that really sticks out to me that I want to highlight is the difference between the external and the internal. Because zone of excellence very much like you being an IBM, yes, maybe you enjoyed it to some extent. Maybe you were good at it to some extent, but really what defines it and deems it excellent is more than likely the external, the success, the accolades, the achievement. Whereas zone of genius is your genius is within it, is within. So tapping into the things that are inside of you and solidifying yourself of what you're a genius at, that is all solidification within yourself. So I wanted to add on there and elaborate.
That's a very good spin. I love that. I love that angle. And I actually never have thought of that. You're so right, because when you're in your zone of excellence, which, by the way, it's counterintuitive. I'm a little controversial here, where I actually encourage people to find their zone of excellence first. So let me touch upon that quickly. The reason is just because your zone of genius is really difficult to find right away. So some people will know it. But I think the challenge with most of us, including me, by the way, is if you had asked me at 19 years old my zone of genius is, I wouldn't have known. Like, the only reason I found my zone of genius was because I made a decision to be an accountant when I was 12, because my parents are factory workers. So for me, it was about making money. I needed to provide for them. And I was good at math. So I picked what I thought I would be good at. And then I get to business school at 19 and I wear this prom suit on because I couldn't afford anything better. And I start going to these cocktails and I meet students who have jobs at big accounting firms. So I asked them, how did you get this job? They said, oh, do case competitions. And I was like, what's a case competition? Like, oh, you just do presentations and then these executives will give you jobs. So I never did case competitions because I had this innate desire to speak and share ideas. I did it to get a job, Charleston. But then after I did case competitions, I got obsessed with them beyond just the job. And I started coaching the students. And then it turned into Master Talk. So for me, it always begins with you find the zone of excellence and you start making just a little bit of money so that you can save that money away. And that gives you more time to think about what your zone of genius is. And then to your point, right, when you work within and you do that internal work, you kind of figure out what brings you joy, regardless of what other people think. And that's probably the right answer.
Oh, so good. I am just absolutely loving this esoteric, expansive conversation between us. And because I feel like your zone of excellence, okay, that is in line with our conditioning. That's in line with how we're taught of pick a career, go after it, get a job, you know, that sort of thing. But then when we get in there and we realize, hey, maybe this isn't all it's cracked up to be, or maybe there's just more that I want to do, have more and be more outside of this, then it really highlights the contrast that we feel within ourselves of I'm doing this, but I'm not feeling this. And I want to feel this. I want to feel more of this, which encourages us to go on this internal journey of figuring out what is it? What is our zone of genius? What is our calling? What is our innermost dream and desire that our true essence is here for? So then we start unraveling all of that into discovery. So beautiful. So
Right. And
beautiful.
the analogy to your point, Charles C, it's kind of like you're in front of your house and you're trying to open the door, but you have 10 different keys and you don't know which one is the key that opens the front door. So you try a bunch of different keys. So asking yourself hard questions is one of those keys, and it'll unlock the door for some people, or It'll just give you the clue that it's not the right key. And then another key is what my coach taught me that I loved is to make a list of things that you enjoy doing and why you enjoy them. But what's fun about doing this exercise, especially in person, is you see people's faces light up. Like I remember this woman I met, she was like a technology executive, but she was talking about interior design. She's like, "Oh, I just love how like the paintings and how I move it in this direction." And I couldn't understand how anyone could be passionate about that. But I got so obsessed with it because she was so contagious with her energy. So for her, that was the key. Whereas somebody else will do this exercise will go, it's not really knocking for me, it's not working. So the key is you just gotta keep trying those different frameworks, and eventually one of them will unlock the door. And I'll give you one more key. It could be like a death-defying situation in your life, a transformational experience. Maybe it was you backpack to a different country and you find this insight and it changes your life. So you just got to keep trying different keys until you find the right one for the lock.
Oh, thank you for adding that. And what I hear, an undertone of what we're talking about, whether it be in your story, maybe it's making the transition from zone of excellence to zone of genius, or trying the keys, asking yourself hard questions. The undertone I hear is evolving. Allow yourself to evolve. Allow yourself to, ask yourself questions and just go deeper and allow yourself to embrace what's coming up for you. And that's what you have so beautifully done as far as being a communication coach and a host of Master Talk. I guess that's what you call when it comes to YouTube.
For sure, for sure. Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, your insights are really good too. I love the way that you contrast zone of excellence and genius to the internal and the external world. Because you're right, because if the external part is the only thing that gives us joy, it'll only get make us happy to a certain extent. Whereas the internal piece is, who cares? Like, I just love doing this because it's fun. So you just keep doing it. So I love that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that acknowledgement. This is such an amazing conversation. Oh, so good. So I'm curious, let's switching gears a little bit to your YouTube channel and building your YouTube channel, whether it's something directly in alignment with that, whether it's, maybe it's an Instagram following, maybe it's a TikTok, maybe it's just building customers, the same idea. For a lot of big dreamers and high achievers, the visionary part can come natural. It can be exciting. It's the minutia and the day-to-day, the showing up, especially when we don't have that external evidence that we've been talking about. So how has that played a pivotal role in building your channel of just staying the course?
Absolutely. So great question. So there's so many different angles you can go here, but I'll start with the first one, Charles, which is this. The reason I'm such a big fan of pursuing a zone of excellence or finding that work that gives you know, some income to sustain yourself is because the stark reality of our life is even if we do something that we're extraordinarily passionate about, there's always going to be parts of that passion that we just don't enjoy doing. So for me, the advice is learn to enjoy doing work you don't like doing. Because even if you find your zone of genius, even if you are in bliss, and I'm grateful, and you seem to have found it as well, where, hey, wow, we get to coach all these great people and we get to have podcasts and conversation, and it's obvious that we're both having fun in this conversation. So we're finding it, but there's still moments of the day where it's like, oh, do I really have to take the sales call? Oh, I have to work on this email funnel script, or else my conversions won't be high and I'll go broke in 6 months. Right. So there's still that minutia. So let's get used to doing boring work. It's necessary in regardless of how passionate we are about the work that we do. So that's one piece. The second piece is an acknowledgement, and I got this from Ving Zhang, and I really like his quote on this. Is consistency always beats intensity? So what he means here is you could be really intense. You could say, oh, let me make a video every single day for 30 days, but you'll always lose to the person who says, like, let me make a video every week for the next 10 years and never miss. So that person will always have better results than the latter. And I think the third piece, which kind of plays into me and how I stayed consistent in that journey, was, and this is the mistake most people make, is that they stay focused on the next 12 months of their vision, the next 3 months, instead of going, what's the next 10 years of what I'm trying to build? And when you stay focused on that longer term vision, it keeps you consistent in the minutia. So let's say for me, my mission is really simple. I think the next Oprah Winfrey, the next Elon Musk, is a 7-year-old girl who can't afford a communication coach. So even if my videos get 200 views or 200,000 views, I have to keep showing up for that girl, because if I don't make those videos, well, then no one's gonna learn how teach them how to speak. So that consistency on the vision, the values, the principles keeps us consistent in the minutiae.
Oh, so good. I totally, completely agree with you. And it's funny because I actually created a TikTok on this yesterday of how being results driven, which a lot of us are really good at, we're really good at focusing, being results driven isn't sustainable because we're relying on conditions. And so, exactly to point number two that you were talking about. And so, to counter that, I suggested focusing on the bigger vision of the why behind it. And that is going to generate natural drive, natural momentum, and it'll help you hang on for a little bit longer.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's really the key is, and also the other piece is celebrating little carrot sticks along the way. So for me, like, it took 2.5 years just to get to 10,000 on YouTube. So it was about celebrating every thousand. It's about celebrating every little win. And when you keep creating that momentum for yourself, you win. Whereas the challenge with a lot of ambitious people, Charlesy, I'm included, is we have goals. We crush the goals, but the second we achieve them, we move on to the next goal without going, hey, I actually did something really important here. I did something really cool here. But that's true for all of us. And there's a great exercise that I got from a coach called the Impossible Log that I encourage everybody to do, which is to document the five biggest accomplishments you've ever achieved in your life and why those accomplishments are important to you. So when you write that down, you realize that you're a lot more powerful than you actually think you are.
That is a really great exercise. I'm going to start doing that. And that's something that you could add in there as far as when it comes to the minutiae and you're like, oh gosh, this again? Then you can look back on those things and say, okay, over time I do accomplish big things. Okay, I am really good. You know, just building that natural momentum within yourself is, thank you for adding that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And so that was such great advice when it comes to maybe you're just starting out or you've been doing it for a little while and you just need to keep up some momentum within you when it comes to the minutia. What about when you have quote unquote arrived and you know from the outside you have 30 something 30,000 on YouTube, you have 10,000 on Instagram. And so, I mean, heck, I want that. Like, that's where I'm going, right? And so, at the same time, I know that just because you have that many followers doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have any doubts or insecurities or inadequacies that come up within you. So, do you have any of those currently present?
Oh, always, all the time. Yeah, and I agree. I don't think follower count by any means, dictates one's expertise or their knowledge base. It just shows kind of people how many resonate with your message. For me, a lot of my imposters, a lot of my challenges, Charles, it was a lot more at the beginning of my career. So I'll give you an example. I started coaching C-level executives. That just means like people are CEOs and stuff when I was 22. Like, so a lot of these people I was coaching were like in their 40s, in their 50s. So I had a lot of imposter syndrome around this. But there's a great quote that I got from Ali Gaddet that I felt really helped me overcome this, which is, if you help one person, the world will give you permission to help everyone else. What does this mean? So what this means is, when I started coaching people, the first 60 people I'd coached, I never made any money, right? I didn't even know this was a profession. So I started with people I was comfortable with, people my own age, right? People who are 20 years old, people who are 19, teenagers too, 15, 16-year-old boys and girls, just in a pro bono initiative that was kind of helping. And that just got me more comfortable. And then after, I started coaching people a little bit older than me. And then I jumped straight to CEO. The reason I did wasn't because, oh, did Brendan start coaching this CEO of a big bank in his 50s? No, it's just a lot of my buddies, Charles C, went on to start tech companies and didn't have any money for a coach. So they're like 22 years old. They're saying, hey, Brendan, can you help me do this thing? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. And I didn't either. So I just said, okay. And then I started learning how to coach CEOs. And then my thought was, oh, well, if I can coach my friend who's 22 and he's a CEO, I could probably coach a 32-year-old who's a manager. And then one thing led to another, and we're here today. Same thing with social media. I started making videos in my mom's basement, Charles. In my mom's basement. Get with the phone. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I have a physical disability in my left arm that's crooked. I spoke my whole life in a second language that I didn't even know, which was French. So how did I even build up the courage to do this? I just posted one video. Then one led to two, two led to four, and I just got better over time.
You are so amazing. You're
Thanks.
just so amazing. Your, I don't know, your wisdom, your lessons learned that you've brought to the show have just been so powerful. And I know it's gonna help all the listeners who are listening to the show. This is really good.
Oh, thanks, Charles. You know, I think that that's why I felt I resonated with people. It's like I'm just an average dude, but the only difference is it's when you stay consistent in that pursuit, you just stay focused on what the objective is, you keep gaining that momentum. And that's the message I really want to send to people is this, heck, if I could do it, I still live in my mom's basement. All my clients know that. If I could do this, anybody can be successful. And all of us have that opportunity to create something really powerful in our life because we only get one. So we might as well use it well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for that momentum that and that consistency, it comes from the internal evidence. It's not external evidence of where you are or, you know, how old you are versus how old your clients are or how much money you're making, any of that kind of nonsense. It's about the internal momentum, the internal consistency, the internal desire and connection to what you're doing.
Absolutely, right? And it's that inner game that we're always working on all the time, right? Both of us included, right? We're always kind of working on how do we get better? How do we push the boundaries? And that's why it's so important going back to those hard questions. Because you might answer those questions and you might realize that for you, happiness means I don't really want to start a YouTube channel. I don't want to start a podcast. I don't want to be a coach. I don't want to be Tony Robbins. I just want to have a nice family, beautiful kids, and I want to make 70 grand a year. And if that's what happiness means to you, that's amazing. But the challenge that most of us face, and I'm sure you've seen this in your career as well, is just most people aren't willing to ask the questions. And that's why there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that leads me to my next question of what is next for you? What does the next 10 years look like for you, Brendan?
Yeah, for sure, Charlsie. So for me, you know, the big thing, I'll tell you the main story actually. So the story is about a TikTok I was watching the other day, and it was about Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift wins an award called Women of the Year in Billboard by a music company called Billboard. It's like 2014. So she's staring at the audience. She gets up on the stage and she says, "Your future Woman of the Year is 12 years old right now." She has big dreams to be a singer. She's in choir now. She's learning how to play piano, and we need to take care of that girl. But then the TikTok flips to like 7 years later, and Billie Eilish becomes the youngest inductee in Billboard's history to win Woman of the Year. She's like 17 years old. So she gets up on the stage. She's got her big, bulky jacket. She looks at the crowd and goes, Yeah. I don't know how I won this award, but I'm super grateful to be here. She just keeps rambling for like 2 minutes. And then her last 30 seconds really changed my perspective about what I was doing with Master Talk, which was, oh, yeah. And in 2014, I was watching Taylor Swift's speech and I was 12 years old. And I was learning how to do choir and I was singing and I had big dreams to be a singer. And then she ends her speech, Charles C., by looking at the crowd and saying, "Thank you for taking care of me." And then she walks off the stage. So the reason that resonates with me and what I'm trying to build here is because the next Elon Musk, the next Oprah Winfrey, when they were 7 years old, when they were 10 years old, nobody was helping them on how to be a great speaker. And then I came to a stark realization that I was the only person who was thinking that way. I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, nobody's creating content for that person. What if I could be that person? So that's really my mission with Master Talk, is at the end of my life, you know, people can still learn and study from me and my videos in a way that people couldn't study Dale Carnegie, because Dale Carnegie, right, the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, there wasn't video available back then. He couldn't share this knowledge that I get to today.
So good. So good. Thank you so much for sharing that story about Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish. Like, just such a a great visual, you know what I mean, of who could be watching us, not even in the sense of watching us, but just listening to us and how we pave the way for someone else who is younger, who is coming up. So that was really beautiful.
For sure. Absolutely.
You are so awesome, Brendan. So before we go, I want to just open it up for you. Is there anything else you would like to leave the listeners with based on everything that we've talked about or something else?
Yeah, for sure, Charleston. You know, for me, it comes down to this question. And I think this could be applied in any area of life, but for communication, I would say, is how would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? You know, I think the challenge that most of us have in any area of life is we focus so much on the fear, the anxiety, the stress, instead of looking at the other side, which is, whoa, like, what if I could give an exceptional presentation? How would it change my life? But that also applies to most of this conversation, which is around clarity. How would your life change if you had the exact clarity that you wanted to achieve in your life? You had the exact clarity on what you wanted to do with your life. How would your life change? How would you spend your time differently? And when you start to reflect on that question, it creates the most important incentive that we need for people to take action, which is motivation. It's like, oh, if I have this clarity, I can achieve all these things. So I might as well take a step back and answer some of these 80-20 questions. That's my final thought.
All right, everybody. Oh my gosh, wasn't that an incredible episode and conversation with Brendan? We talked about so many things from creating what you're called to do rather than what's logical. And we broke this down into zone of genius versus zone of excellence and how to figure out your zone of genius. We also talked about asking yourself the hard questions, the power of discovering what brings you joy, falling in love with the minutiae and the everyday of building your dream, embracing the evolution or the process of who you are, believing in yourself and keeping up the momentum, even when and especially when you don't have the results. We also talked about how being results driven isn't sustainable and how it's so important to celebrate the carrot sticks along the way. Woo! We covered so much in this episode. I hope you got so much value of it, as always. And I really just want you to know that as a big dreamer, as a high achiever, as someone who is ambitious, go-getter, you're driven, you're a visionary, you know what you want in this life, you know you are called to something more, and that you are called for something big, whatever that looks like in your life. I really want to just pour into you and that your path is not going to be logical because your dream is not logical. When we're called to something big, whether we have full clarity around what exactly that is, or whether we're still very much in the journey of letting that clarity be defined and come to us, that when we're called to something that is greater than ourselves, the path to get there is not going to be logical. You're not going to be able to know the how and the details and the timeline of everything, and really getting to the point where you're okay with that. I don't know about you, but that was a big portal for me to get through, is just being okay with not knowing all the details, not knowing exactly how things are going to unfold, not being upset and disappointed and down on myself when things don't quite happen when I want them to and in the way that I want them to, and to just really believe in myself, to get to that point of trusting in myself, trusting in my dream, trusting the inevitable timeline of everything, knowing that I am meant for more. I am called to something greater than myself, and really embracing the illogical side of that. Because let me tell you, from my perspective, it is so much fun when we can detach our identity, detach our self-worth from the number of followers, from how fast our YouTube channel grows, for instance, how fast we get customers, you know, the money. Once we can detach ourselves from that and fully just allow ourselves to fall in love with the illogical, the unknown, the uncertainty, and know that there is more and more clarity available to us in each and every season and step of the way. Oh my goodness, From where I'm currently standing, that has been such an unexpected, fun part of my journey of building my dream. And guess what? It's still going. There's still more clarity. There's still more evolution into my zone of genius. There's still discovering what brings me joy and what doesn't bring me joy. And it's constant, really celebrating those carrot sticks that we talked about. So I hope you're walking away from this conversation feeling super inspired. And at the same time, I am also full aware of what it's like to need to know the how, or to feel like you need to be upset when you don't achieve your goal, when you want to achieve your goal, when learning to fall in love with the minutiae of what it's like building your dream. I know that the journey can be so hard, and I want to assure you that you are so supported in my world, so supported. And so if you're feeling like you could really use some support, encouragement, building your belief in all of this, maybe fine-tuning what your zone of genius is and really embracing everything that we've talked about rather today, embracing the illogical side, then I want you to know that Anchor, one of my coaching programs, is for you. Inside of Anchor, we aim for true cultivating true lasting confidence. Because the beautiful thing is that we don't have to look back in our past. We don't have to uncover our childhood in order to build true lasting confidence. No, that's one way. That is certainly, it serves a purpose, and it definitely did in my journey of uprooting those core lies and internalizations from within. However, the vast majority of us, the best way and the most efficient and effective way for us is for building our confidence to be incremental, for it to be a continuous journey that of refinement, of growth, expansion, clarity as far as who we are, what we have to offer. Because how can we fully do these beautiful exercises that Brendan brought to the table as far as writing down our five biggest accomplishments? How can we actually do that if we are having our minds say, you aren't good at anything. You've never been good at anything. You've never really accomplished anything. You've never done anything with your life. So why would you do anything else? How can we really get to this place of defining what that clarity of our dream looks like if we don't have clarity on who we are, and we're so full of lies and insecurities and just negativity and screaming, doubting thoughts telling us everything we aren't? You aren't this. You aren't that. You can't do this. You are such an idiot. Who do you think you are? All of those things. So that's exactly what Anchor is to do. It is here to help you build confidence incrementally and on a journey. It is unlike any other program, any other confidence program you have ever encountered, I promise you, because Anchor is all about you, and it's tailored specifically to your current obstacles, doubts, and pivotal moments that are challenging your confidence right now. So, like I was saying, we don't have to dwell into our past. We focus solely on where you are now in relation to where you're going. That is the power of Anchor. There is no content to learn, no videos to watch. It's just expert insights and practical guidance tailored to your unique journey. Because you are on a mission. You are on a mission to create a significant impact, leave a legacy, achieve wild success, even build generational wealth. In Anchor, you are supported on this journey with practical, effective, and efficient solutions tailored to your present needs. And so, if you are someone who has recently said, you know what? I really just wish that I had more confidence. I really just wish that I believed in myself more and that I could embrace the unfolding of my dream. If that is you, then Anchor is absolutely for you. And I encourage you right now to go click on that link in the episode description to check it out for yourself. To check it out for yourself. Because I promise you, and I've been there, I've been there, I've been there. that when we aren't clear on ourselves, when we aren't clear, if we aren't even able to define what brings us joy and what doesn't, if we aren't able to ask ourselves the hard questions, if we aren't able to fall in love with our beautiful timeline and unfolding of our dream, then we're going to continue to feel blocked. We're going to continue to feel like we keep bumping up against something, and we're not going to be able to truly tap into that flow and that zone of genius that Brendan and I were talking about. So you got it. Anchor is for you. Go check it out now, and I will see you in the next episode.